IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
The other story, which was absolutely bizarre, a couple who colluded in faking the death of a husband to cash on a fraudulent insurance claim have been arrested. They were on the run for 23 years. This is out of a movie, but we wanted to get a little bit more detail about this. How common is this type of fraud? Chad Thomas, CEO of IRS Forensic Investigations. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing, Chad?
Howard, good morning to you. And yes, definitely a very bizarre case.
I even think there's a movie on a series on BritBox about this.
There is. It's the man in his canoe.
Yes,
He was an ex-prison warden, and they did something exceptionally similar to this.
It's bizarre what people only do. So tell us about this story.
So this happened in 1999. The chap, Robbie Smith, who changed his name to Chris Bosworth at a later stage, he assumed the identity of his father-in-law.
Right.
Submitted a claim on insurance for an amount of $1.9 million, and they must have produced fake documentation because the payment was made. They then left the east end of Gauteng and moved to Knysna. What makes this bizarre for me is the fact that South Africa is pretty small when it comes to where people holiday, etc. So you live in Gauteng, you tend to go to the coast on holiday. These guys were like living in plain view for 22 years. So it really is bizarre. And I think we're going to see a lot more of these type of cases coming out simply because public-private partnerships between the insurance houses, an organization known as the Insurance Crime Bureau, which is doing very good work investigating these crimes, are working now together with the Hawks. And we're seeing this coming together of skills that is able to identify so much more of these frauds, not just in the short-term environment, because we know short-term insurance is common in South Africa. There's been cases over the years, cars that are damaged where they came, there was an accident, cars that are stolen where they just couldn't make the payments and they gave it to somebody. But on the life side, it's been a lot more difficult. And now, of course, with this partnership between the insurance houses, the Insurance Crime Bureau and the Hawks, I think we're going to see a lot more of these cases that are not going to be as bizarre as we now see them to be.
What kind of process do the insurance companies go through to determine if somebody's really died?
Well, in 99, there wasn't really much in the biometric space. These days, it's a lot harder to get cover. In the old days, you could incept a policy on anybody. As long as the premiums were paid, you could take insurance out from people without their knowledge. And that, of course, led to cases like the much-publicized Rosemary and Glover, a serial killer who never actually did killing herself. She took policies out on her family members
right. And
then had them taken out.
Yes.
Nowadays, when you apply for life insurance, you have to show that you have an interest. And then the party that the policy's been taken out on has to go for an entire battery of tests. And even if they've known their doctor for 20 years, they have to produce identification, and the doctor has to sign certificates that he's actually seen identification in its original format, that this is, in fact, the person who he's conducting the tests on. So it's becoming harder, but fraudsters are adept, and they will find ways to manipulate the system. And, of course, Home Affairs, they're the ones that issue death certificates, and I don't want to go into great detail because the listeners know Home Affairs itself is a mess in many aspects.
Yeah, as I said, it of course makes it a lot worse because if you can obtain fraudulent documents fairly easily, then this becomes pretty much open season in a way.
Yes, and that's the problem we have. We know that foreigners that are undocumented, that have been able to pay bribes, have received identity documents. We know that certain women, when they've gone to register their marriage, have found out they're married to somebody they've never ever met. And that person, got residency in South Africa through this marriage that took place. We know that people even sell their identities as money mules, so their bank accounts can be opened by fraudsters. So there's a lot of missing checks and balances when it comes to our current Home Affairs system.
What was this couple, what did they say that this guy died from?
It was natural causes. There isn't much detail out there at the moment. The case is fluid. But it wouldn't have been something that would have necessarily have been reported and required a post-mortem, because then you'd require so much more paperwork and so many more people involved. So if it was a car accident or a murder or something along those lines, unnatural death, you now have case numbers you have to give. You have district surgeon reports you have to give. So chances are that most of these were natural causes.
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. And what is the, what is likely to, and she would obviously be found guilty as well as an accessory here.
Well, she knew. He assumed her, and obviously these are all allegations at this point, but he assumed her father's identity. So her maiden name was Boshoff. She married Smith, and then they both became Boshoff again. So she, of course, knew about it, and she would be charged an accessory.
Absolutely incredible. And as you said, we might see more of these stories. Just completely, completely bizarre. Chad Thomas, CEO of IRS Forensic Investigations. Thanks for chatting to us about this.